I'm going to read part of the Christmas story now from Luke chapter 2. And if you've got a Bible or want to look, it's on page 1027 of the Church Bible. So Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken over the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I don't know if you were here at our carol service last week, but you might, if you were, remember the theme, waiting. And Andy put up this picture. He hoped he wouldn't still be sitting in this traffic jam as he drove down to Somerset to visit his family. I'm sure a lot of you have been travelling, and hopefully you haven't had that sort of an experience, although I know some of you have had. But interestingly enough, I didn't link up with Andy beforehand as we were preparing what he was going to say and what I was going to say. And we both decided we'd talk about waiting. So at least just for once, it is continuity in our message. Waiting? What are you waiting for? I had as a child, I remember a little book we used to have that came out at the beginning of December, and it was full of Charlie Brown cartoons. And it was called Christmas Is. And it had lots of lovely things. But one of the things it said was, Christmas is waiting and waiting and waiting. And I don't know, let's actually do some testing here. How many of the people under the age of 12 have already opened all their presents? Okay, one or two, well done, very good. Okay, who's still got some to open though at home? Some as well. Yeah, well, now let me tell you, because my parents were really, really mean to me, really mean to me. Because our habit, apart from our stockings, which we could open as soon as we woke up at 2:30 in the morning, apart from those, we were not allowed to open our presents under the Christmas tree, the main presents. We weren't allowed to open them before lunch. We had to eat lunch. And the grown-ups took so much time talking about it. And then after lunch, they would say, let's watch the Queen's speech. Now, actually, do you know, I can tell you this, children, the Queen's speech doesn't last more than 10 minutes, according to the Radio Times. But when you're 5, 6, 7, and 8, looking at the Christmas tree and your present under the Christmas tree, that Queen's speech lasted about 5 hours. It was ridiculous. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And we often think about Christmas, and we think about the waiting, and what was it like for Joseph and Mary to wait? What was it like for Joseph and Mary to wait? You see, we often think about the bit where she's heavily pregnant on the donkey going to Bethlehem. Okay, well, of course, I guess there was a long journey, and she must have been waiting at that time for the baby to be born and wishing it was born, but wishing she was somewhere safe where the baby could be born. But have you thought about what it was like for all the months before that bit of the journey? What was it like, I wonder? What was that first conversation Mary had with Joseph like when she said, Joseph, I'm pregnant? What on earth was that conversation like? It must have been difficult. Annie and Lucy and me were chatting the other day, and in the conversation we were thinking about this. What must it have been like? And Annie said something which really struck me. She said, of course, for Mary, after the angel had come, she knew her body was starting to change. She had the evidence of what the angel had said for 9 months. And she knew that she'd not slept with a man. And so what was going on for her was a certain miracle for which she had rock solid evidence. But what about Joseph? And if you're a man here, you might just want to put yourself in your mind. If your betrothed, your engaged girlfriend came and said, I have become pregnant and it's a miracle, how would you take it? And all that time, Joseph must have had to live in faith that that visitation from the angel, that word he'd received, was indeed the word from God, the word that he had to work through. But what was he thinking as he waited for the baby? And it struck me, he'd be saying to himself, what's this baby going to be like? What's the baby going to look like? What's the baby going to be like? Now, most of you, I expect, have had that, probably almost all of us, apart from the very youngest, have seen a brand new baby. And you look at the baby, and if you're a bit like me, you think all babies look alike, okay? But actually, you're thinking, what is this baby going to be like? So here we are. Here's a quiz for you, okay? Now, I'm sorry to all the visitors. You haven't got a chance, okay? I apologize. But the locals might know some of these. Now, you might know one of those babies is Prince George, William and Kate's baby, all right? One is our grandson, who was here last year, but doesn't look a bit like his picture there, okay? One is Luke Goodall. So that's Tim and Anne, our previous pastor, their little boy. One is Andy Diamond, okay? See if you work out Andy, our youth pastor, as a baby. One is Toby Rawling. Again, obviously Tom and Beth's baby, Toby. And then one is a baby that's just been born in Aleppo. Okay, talking to the people around you for 10 seconds or so, or a bit longer than that, A to F, work out which is which. Okay, that's enough. I'll give you the answers. I'll trust you to say if anyone got actually, you all get a present. If you remember a chap who was baptized here about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, Shaquille, he came by the church on Friday, and as you go out, he's left us some sweets and some biscuits as a present for his church family. So as you go out, please take a present as a prize if you've got the answers right, or even if you haven't, okay? Right, number one, Prince George is F, well done. Number two, Chris and Lucy's grandson Edward is D, okay. Luke Goodall? E, correct. Andy Diamond? Yay. Toby Rawling? C. And a baby just born in Aleppo? B. And the baby just born in Aleppo is probably the closest to what Jesus looked like. And so if you think about all those months of waiting for Joseph, And then something like that appears. This is an amazing picture. Again, Lucy and Annie and I were talking about it, and some of you might have seen it recently circulating on Facebook. Someone wrote this: I love this portrayal of the Nativity. Before the shepherds come rushing in, jabbering about an angel choir, before anyone shows up with gifts, there's just Mary, exhausted from childbirth, and Joseph, overwhelmed by the task in front of him, and the baby that changes everything. The quiet beauty of this moment stirs my heart every time I look at it. I looked at that picture, and I guess I related to Joseph. When our first daughter, Pippa, was born, Lucy, immediately after the birth, needed some further medical help. And so Pippa was left lying in the little cot in front of me, and she had her eyes wide open. And I stared at my baby, and my baby stared back at me, and it was one of the most scary but exhilarating and amazing experiences of my life. And she kept her eyes open without blinking for a very long time. And it was really quite unnerving. But staring at Pippa, I realized that the whole world had changed for me. And that was just by having a daughter. It was amazing. And there's Joseph staring. And what's Joseph thinking? Because Joseph is not just staring at his baby and wondering what this baby will be like. But he is looking at the face of God. He is looking at the Messiah, King Jesus. What on earth is he thinking? What on earth is he thinking? Perhaps he is lost in wonder, love, and praise. And perhaps he was lost in awe as he realized what had happened. But there's someone else in that picture. God the Father is looking over that nativity scene too. What does God think when he looks into his own face, the face of the baby Jesus? God become a human. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What a risk. What a danger. What a miracle. What will this baby be like? Well, I mentioned my daughter. I must mention also my son to keep fairness. Otherwise, there's always rows at Christmas unless you keep everything fair. And one of the things about thinking about what the baby will be like is often reflected in names. When my son was 2, his name's Joshua. He had one of those developmental interviews. A social worker comes to see how everything's going and make sure he's okay. And said to Joshua, Joshua, what's your name? And Joshua said, Joshua. And then the social worker says, what's your other name? And he thought for a minute, and then he said, Chunky Chap. And of course, that's what we called him. So I think he got a tick in the box. He didn't say Reveille, but he got a tick in the box for having the right answer. He understood the question. He just gave an answer different to what was expected. But names tell us so much. And when Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary already knew a lot of the names. They knew names like Son of the Most High, He will reign forever, Christ the Lord, Savior. But we know lots more names about Jesus that tell us what this baby will be like. Son of the Most High, Great, He will reign forever, His kingdom never ends, Son of God, Savior, High Priest, Christ the Lord, Jesus, saving his people from their sins. The Word, King of the Jews, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Heir of all things, Alpha and Omega, Image of the Invisible God, Radiance of God's Glory, Emmanuel, God with us.
Do you have a seat? I'm going to go on reading a few verses from Luke chapter 2. This is later in the story, but it's also about someone who'd been waiting a very long time. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
I'm just going to take a couple of moments more to share about one other person who was waiting. And that was this man, Simeon, who was waiting in the temple. We don't know how old he is, but we tend to assume that he was probably had been waiting a very, very long time. And he was, at this point, probably fearing he'd die before his promise was fulfilled that God had given to him. Because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means comfort, for the comfort of Israel. But of course, it means a lot more than that. It means he was waiting to see God's purposes of bringing his Messiah, his King, his Savior into the world. And what we're told is that moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon recognizes a very poor couple coming into the temple about a month after today, if we were following the story chronologically, and he sees them holding a baby bringing for this special ceremony, and he hears from the Holy Spirit that this baby has a lovely little example of a baby. Don't worry, let the baby go. That's lovely. This baby is going to be the comfort of Israel, the one that fulfills all the promises that God has given throughout Scripture. Now, this was a man who was really proud of being Jewish. Okay? He was really proud of his heritage. And what happens? Well, this is what happens. As he prophesies with the baby Jesus in his arms, he appreciates that the promise isn't just for Israel, but it's for the whole world. And that is why we're here today, because we are saying with Simeon that Jesus is about the salvation which God prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people, Israel. And so as we come to finish the service, I just wanted us to finish by focusing on who it is that Jesus is. He is not just exclusive, he is inclusive. He is for all peoples, for all nations. And he came to be the light of revelation, which means to help us understand and know God. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," didn't he? Because he came to give the image of God in human form that we might understand and relate to God. But he did more than that, because he came to be the Savior too. And so he gave of himself. He was born a baby, but born to go through life to die young in our place, to be our Saviour, to be the sacrifice for our sins on our behalf. He is a revelation and he is salvation. So I want to finish with that question that we were given by Andy last week, which is actually to think about, what are we waiting for? There's different ways of saying that. Last week when Andy said it, what he was thinking about was, well, we're waiting for Christmas Day. But Christmas Day has come, but it brings a challenge with it. What are we waiting for? If Christmas for you is just a nice story, just a myth about something that happened or maybe didn't in your mind a long time ago, then the message for you is this today. Jesus was born in history. God is with us today. God calls us to follow him, to trust him, to be our Saviour. It's good news for all people. And even on Christmas Day, you can be born again into his family and become a child of God. Today is a day of salvation. If you're not yet a Christian, if you think that you are hearing God's words to you, that he has sent his son to be your Saviour, what are you waiting for? Just pray to him and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Saviour. But if you're already a Christian, you're probably so taken up with this activity every year, you think, yeah, I know all about it. Well, then what we should be doing is responding in praise. And the last carol we're going to sing in a moment is one of my favourites, because we really can respond to Jesus in praise for who he is. But do we recognise that Jesus is a light to all nations, to all people? And he's called us to be involved in his job of sharing that light across the world. And do we recognize too that Jesus came as a baby the first time? But just as that promise was fulfilled to Simeon, and Simeon knew that God had fulfilled his promise, so we have the promise that Jesus will come back again. This time not as a baby, this time not in obscurity, this time not somewhere where it was so easily overlooked. This time when Jesus comes back, he will come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everyone will recognize him wherever they are in the world, because he will come for all people. And those of us who know him have already received him. He will be our Savior. 1 Thessalonians says, you are all children of light and children of the day. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, as indeed you are doing. It is Happy Christmas, because there's wonderful news of the newborn King. We focus on the newborn, but let's not forget, he is the King. What are we waiting for? Well, if you're not yet a Christian, please don't wait any longer. Become a Christian today. Just say to Jesus, thank you, I accept you as my Saviour. And if you are a Christian, what are you waiting for? Get out there, be light, look forward to Jesus coming back again, and share that message, the message of Christmas, with those around. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you were willing to come and be born a baby in Bethlehem. But we thank you even more that you grew up and you went to the cross for us and you died for us. And God, your Father, raised you from the dead, and you're seated at the highest place in heaven now. And one day that you're coming back, and all the world will recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you praise. Send us out, each one, we pray, in this Christmas day, knowing you, knowing that we are now children of the light too, and looking forward to the next time you come to intervene in our world directly. Bless the rest of our Christmas day. May our day be full of joy, and may we respond in praise to you as we recognize that you are the newborn King. Amen.